Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Amy Osorio Oyala and Amira Rupnik are both students here in Milwaukee. Both women share a Latinx heritage. Osorio Oyala was born in Puerto Rico and Rupnik is of Brazilian descent. And they both have something else in common: personal experiences with mental health issues. In honor of Mental Health Awareness Week, WUWM reporter Angelina Mosher Salazar sat down with these young women to talk about their experiences and creating mental health awareness in the Latinx community.
So, Amira, you mentioned that you are Brazilian.
Yes.
And Amy, if I'm not mistaken, you're Puerto Rican.
Yes.
You're born in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
So one thing that I want to talk about that I think doesn't often get a lot of attention is mental health awareness in the Latino community.
Absolutely. I can definitely agree that it is something that is not spoken about. And I think it's because a lot of people, for one, are not educated on it and how to be able to help those that are suffering. But also it's seen as a bad thing. It's like a bad word. Like, mm-hmm. No, there's no reason why you should be depressed. There's no reason why you should feel this way. Especially because us women in the Latino community, we do so much. We're mothers, we're sisters, we work, we're students. And it's very difficult to have a day off, quote unquote, to be able to feel how we feel.
Absolutely.
Like I was saying earlier, it's something like we're seen as locas. We're seen as it's crazy for you to, it's, you know, you can't say that. You can't feel that way. So
and loca means crazy for our non-Spanish speaking audience. That like, you know, that's what you call somebody who is, you know, experiencing symptoms of a mental illness. It's just like a crazy person. You know?
Or no estés amargada. Like don't be so bitter. And it's like, you know, not only just for women. I know there are men out there who also feel this way. Just in the Latino community in general, it's just something that, because Latinos, we're just very vibrant. So it's not right, quote unquote, for you to not be vibrant. It's kind of so different. It's like, what are you doing? Don't be that way. So it's a stigma in the Latino community. Absolutely.
I do want to dive deep into this term, mental health. You know, like what does that mean? Okay, if we're going to bring more awareness to this, if we're going to talk about this, like is that just like you're depressed? Does that mean, you know, you're suicidal? Does that even include things like anxiety that is under the umbrella of mental health awareness? So Amy, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. So mental health really is the umbrella of several illnesses. It does include depression, suicidal thoughts, or just suicide in general. Anxiety, I know it has OCD, BDD, which we will shortly speak about. And there's many more illnesses that go undiagnosed and untreated. And because they do go undiagnosed, they are pushed aside, kind of like, oh no, you know, it's not as important as the other ones. But mental health awareness is really just a movement to be able to bring it up to the surface and give the people that are struggling the space to speak about it and seek help. I have a few statistics if I
yeah,
can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So 1 in 5 adults live with mental illness. It's highest among women. 22% of women struggle with it. And there's about 15% of men who struggle with it. And I also have that depression has risen 18% in the last decade. And half of those people are untreated. I have a huge problem with that. When I was about 18, I was off my mom's healthcare. And at that time, I was still struggling with depression where I didn't leave the house. I did not do anything. I actually dropped out of college at that time, didn't have a job. So I literally spent my life for the 4 or 5 months at home and not being able to see my doctor and not being able to tell someone like I'm struggling, I don't know what to do, was really tough. And it ties back into being the oldest and having to perform, having to not be that person at home because my siblings would see that. And it's like, I don't want to have that effect on them. I don't want them to think, you know, this is the life of a depressive person. So it really does put a strain on my heart.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing
Thank you, Amy.
And for just bringing some more awareness. Amira, I know that you want to talk about something that isn't so well known, like depression or anxiety or suicide, something that kind of flies under the mental health awareness radar?
Yes. So that's body dysmorphic disorder, BDD for short, or body dysmorphia. So body dysmorphia is a severe mental disorder where a lot of the features are similar to OCD and eating disorders. You're being preoccupied basically with a perceived or imagined physical defect that you have. It's typically things that other people don't notice or can't see. That includes always seeking reassurance from people, or
like saying like, hey, does my skin look good, or does this outfit look good?
It's even like negative, like, does my skin look this bad? Or do I look too big in this? Do I look too small in this? It's rarely positive things, you know, because.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's that constantly checking any reflection you see yourself in. Also grooming. So, you know, fixing, adjusting your clothes or fixing your makeup or adding makeup or something like that. The average of how many hours a day anyone with body dysmorphia focuses on their appearance is about 8 to 10 hours a day.
Wow.
No one talks about it. So that leaves people in the dark about it, but it also leaves the people that are actually suffering from it in the dark about it. I do have some statistics.
Absolutely. Let's share them.
So there are 200,000 cases a year of people with body dysmorphia, and that's only reported. So I did mention body dysmorphia is very underdiagnosed. So this number, we don't even know if it could be way higher, a little bit higher. 80% experience lifetime suicide ideation. Yeah.
Well, I know that you have a very personal tie to this disorder.
So I've suffered from body dysmorphia since I was about 13 years old, which is actually common for people. It's younger. It's getting younger and younger. I was absolutely clueless about what I was even experiencing, and that kept me from admitting it to anyone, because if you don't even understand what you're going through, how are you going to explain it to someone else? But before my freshman year of college, I reached a point where I felt like I was actually in danger. When you're experiencing suicidal ideation, you're not thinking like, wow, this is normal for me every day. You know, and then when you step back and you're like, that's not normal. And at that point is when I felt like the suicidal thoughts were just getting more intrusive, to the point where I didn't feel safe. And that really pushed me to address that I was struggling. So I opened up to my mom about it. So she's very encouraging, and she directed me to the next step. So I went to my pediatrician at the time, and he referred me to a specific clinic that specializes in eating disorder treatment. So what they did was they conducted a screening to determine what kind of help I needed, because it is very different. Like, everyone suffers differently. So that process really showed me, I guess, the severity of what I was actually going through. And then that's when I discovered that the problem that I was struggling with was body dysmorphia. You hope there's other people that you can relate to.
You don't want to be alone.
No, of course not. Because you already feel alone, like completely alone, even though you may not be alone. And it affects me personally still, till this day, of course, including my personal self-esteem, in that I really tend to base my worth off of how I look. So I could do anything. Like, I could do well in school. I could help someone out. And, you know, that doesn't matter. You just throw that out. You're like, oh, okay, but this.
So all of your achievements seem minor.
Oh, absolutely.
Or pale in comparison.
Yeah.
Because I need to look a certain way.
Yep. And if I don't, then I failed. It's not looking at the things you're actually doing, you know? Examples. So for me personally, it's hard to get out of bed. There are some days where I can't physically even get out of bed, because you're just thinking, you're like, the rest of my day, I'm going to be thinking about this. And you don't want to do that. But then you end up sitting in bed, not doing anything, not being productive in any way. Simple tasks become difficult and sometimes feel like the end of the world, like, oh, going to the bathroom, brushing your teeth, taking a shower. It's just dreadful. It's almost like you're so exhausted that you just want to lay there and just be miserable, you know?
And can you help me understand a little bit, why is it so difficult? Why are those simple tasks so difficult? Is it because you're going to see yourself in the mirror, or is it because you're just like, I don't even want to go outside? Or walk me a little bit through those feelings.
Well, personally, from my experience, I can honestly say that I worry about how I look almost all day. It'll determine my day. So if I'm not feeling good about how I'm looking, my entire day is shifted, you know, because it's based on that one, do you look good or not? Or is this thing that you're imagining there or not? But it's like that battle, like in your head, like, do I want to ignore these thoughts and just go on with my day? But then, you know, sometimes you don't win. Yeah. Sometimes and you do let
cutting it. Into that, too, for me personally at 17, 18, it was more of like a self-punishment.
Yeah.
Like you said, when you don't perform from what you believe you're supposed to perform and you don't perform, you fail. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you don't deserve to get out of bed today. You don't.
Yeah.
For me, that's how it was. Like, I was punishing myself. Like, you don't deserve to take a shower today, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so disheartening to feel that way. Like, to look back and like, oh my gosh, I was that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how bad mental illness got to me, that I thought that I didn't deserve little basic tasks. So that was how I felt. Yeah.
That is a big part in it. It's like, do you deserve to even go on about your day? And you know, sometimes, like I said, you can't get out of bed. You make all these plans, but you're like, when the plans come, you're like, I can't. Yeah. I can't do it. Sometimes even texting a friend back is effort, and it's exhausting and draining. And, you know, they take that personally. And I mean, as a person that doesn't understand it, how else would you take it, you know? That's why, though, it's so important for me to spread awareness to it, so that, let's say someone is doing that to you, you can at least be like, okay, maybe they're really going through something. What can I do to help? Instead of, you know, taking it personally and then cutting off ties with people that, you know, meant a lot to you. So yeah, there are a lot of people that it affects, and also those people are in the dark about it too.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Amira. I do know that both of you occupy the spaces that you do right now because you are driven and motivated by your personal experiences. Amy, you want to talk a little bit about what you're doing and the events that you're attending to help spread more awareness about mental health?
Yes. So I actually utilize social media a lot to be able to broadcast, like she said, very important topics that are not really delved into. So on Instagram, I kind of share a lot of that, videos and stuff like that. But there is an event October 8th from 12 to 5 at the Medical College of Wisconsin at their campus, and it's the 8th annual Depression Day event. This is the first time that I hear about it. My psychology professor actually told us to go, so I have to take notes and kind of get a grade on it. But I feel like it's a plus for me because of how I dealt with depression, but also in order to increase my kind of like my studies on depression, if there's anything that I need to learn that I didn't know at age 17 or 18, to, like how Amira says, educate other people, to really open up that space for mental health awareness.
And do you think, is this something that's open to the public, that maybe our listeners could attend, maybe even if they don't, you know, suffer from depression personally, maybe they have a coworker or a friend that deals with this and it could better educate them. I don't know. What do you think?
Yes. So it is open to the public. I do have more information because some people do have to RSVP. It's going to be very informative. So I'm excited to attend.
Well, again, thank you so much, ladies, for coming into the studio and for trying to, you know, shed light on this very important week, which is Mental Health Awareness Week.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Adios. Ciao. To everyone.
Ciao, everyone.
Amy Osorio Oyala is a student at MATC, and Amira Rupnik is a student at UWM. They spoke with WUWM's Angelina Mosher Salazar, and you can find more of our coverage on this issue at WUWM.com.